From the New Theatre, Cardiff, Dead Ringer.
It's just coming up to 8:10 here on today, which means it's time for the big interview. Sarah, off you go.
Me? But you said I was only ever good for the pointless consumer survey waffle we have on at 8:40 because I don't listen to the answers I've been given.
Yes, this may be one of the stupidest things I've ever done, and that includes art school. But Sarah, I think you're ready for this. Don't let me down.
I'm sure I won't. Joining me now is Kenneth Clark. Mr. Clark, we've been hearing a lot of rumours in the past few days about your future, so what can you tell us of your plans?
Well, I can tell your listeners that I'm going to be running for the leadership of the Conservative Party.
So do you think you'll be running for the leadership?
Well, I just said... Well, I just said so, didn't I?
But will these safeguards stop accidents?
What?
Well, you say that the manufacturers insist the shampoo is safe, but does that address the concerns of consumers?
Now, stop, woman.
So when will you launch the probe at Mars?
Well, I'm not standing for this. I'm off for a drink.
Terrible.
Well, I wouldn't say it was that great, John, but thanks for the compliment.
Oh, shut your face.
I will not go to bed with you. Weddy, what a 21st birthday that was!
Hey, poor Willie, working in on Emmerich, knocking head.
Aye, just lucky he didn't work in 5 minutes earlier. He'd have seen me slipping the tongue in and all.
Yes, but it's still a terrible shock.
Not half as big a shock as when you tell Eddie next week that he's not really Will's father. When he was born in the 1970s, you was having an affair with Basil Brush.
Joe!
Easy. All I did was listen to all those archers' trials spoiling all the upcoming storylines. They tell you all the juicy bits. Just listen to next week's trial.
Quickly, Dad, quickly.
What's that, Hazel?
Just sign the documents giving me power of attorney while I stand here smirking and twirling my long, evil villain's moustache. Then it's all mine. 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 Dad, why aren't you signing?
It's no good, Hazel. I've heard the next trial after this one. I know that in 3 weeks' time you're going to frame me for the senseless murder of Linda Snell and have me sectioned to the maximum security wing of the Borchester Players for the rest of my days.
Say that again, Dad.
Oh, look, that parrot's just flown into the room. Oh, sorry, Hazel, what was I doing?
You were just signing this document, Dad.
Oh, yes, I must get it signed right away.
The Archer's Trails, all next week, at 7:15, 7:10, 7:20, 7:10, 5:08, and then so on throughout the day, until it gets to the point you just want to hurl your radio out of the kitchen window. Because we want to make sure they're unmissable, whether you want to miss them or not.
Hello, I'm Andrew Neil, and you're watching the Daily Politics, a slightly trippier version of the Boobas. So, well, and there you have it. Tony Blair made it clear in his speech earlier today that he expects to remain Prime Minister for almost a full term. I'm joined now by ugly lefties Claire Short, Ken Livingston. You might want him to go, but you can't make him go, can you?
Well, Andrew, that is... exactly where you're wrong. We may have got nowhere with just demanding he goes, but we have a new strategy that's bound to make Tony realise he's outstayed his welcome.
Oh, exactly. I will instigate a campaign of heavy hinting.
Heavy hinting?
Yes, Andrew, that's right. To start with, I'm going to carry an enormous tray of coffee and after eights into the room during his closing speech.
And I'll start constantly looking at my watch, tapping it impatiently and saying, oh, goodness me, is that the time? I didn't realise it was so late. Well, we've all got to be up really early tomorrow, haven't we?
And if he still hasn't gone, Frank Dobson, Estelle Morris and I will start yawning in a really exaggerated fashion.
Oh, that's right, and then all the delegates will leave the hall, only to return a few minutes later, having changed into their pyjamas.
Yes.
OK, so you've done all that. But what if the Prime Minister still hasn't taken the hint and headed for the door?
Oh, and then the gloves come off. I get the slides of my caravanning holiday to Cleethorpes.
And I suggest a threesome.
BBC Radio 4. I'm Hurricane Perkins. Thousands of American citizens were evacuated last weekend, with roads outside Houston becoming gridlocked. What rubbish. Hurricane Rita is a pussy. You want an evacuation? Put me in a room with Peter Donaldson for 5 minutes, and I'll show you an evacuation. They don't call him Brown Trousers Donaldson for nothing. Oh, yes, there's no hiding from me when I increase to a Category 5. I've already caused widespread damage round here. I've torn a great big hole through Moneybox Live. Front row is now at the back, on its side, while you and yours is just an empty shell devoid of any usable contents. So no change there, then. I did issue a warning, but if you choose to build your weak programme on a flimsy premise, then I'm afraid you won't stand a chance. Liz Barclay has been uprooted, John Waite has been surged over, and I've completely breached Winifred Robinson's levies. In other news, George Bush declared a state of emergency, mainly because he still hasn't been allowed to go for a bathroom break. BBC Radio 4, becoming cyclonic.
Welcome to You and Yours, 60 minutes of fretting and nagging. This week, can stress cause stress? Why are so many of our children underage? And the sky is falling, the sky is falling. A special report from our correspondent in the field, Chicken Licken.
But first, a disturbing report about your pants. Evidence is mounting that major retailers such as M&S, Debenhams and Next are irresponsibly allowing the sale of knickers, which, at the first sign of the slightest minor annoyance, get in a twist. It's known as undergarmental strangulosa. And made-up studies show it will probably kill everyone on Earth within the next 6 months.
Disturbing stuff. And, of course, this is a cause close to our hearts here on You and Yours, because it's an open secret that all our knickers have been in a chronic twist for years. So, for example, if I were to tell John that toothbrushes are 3 pence cheaper on the continent than in Britain...
Oh, stop it, Liz. That hurts.
Or that not all tap dancing studios are wheelchair accessible...
I mean it, Liz. Cut it out.
Or even that nearly 50% of our hospitals are falling below the national average. The consequences could be dire. So please, if you've recently bought underwear from a high street retailer, watch out. Don't get your knickers in a twist. You're back with the Today programme, and joining me now is the Liberal Democrat leader, Charles Kennedy.
Nice to be here, Sarah.
Mr Kennedy, aren't you concerned about talk of an impending leadership challenge?
Of course I'm concerned, Sarah. I can't sleep at night worrying about it. It's terrifying.
Yes, but are you worried about it?
Yes, I'm petrified with fear.
Well, you say that, but how will that help endangered fish stocks in the North Sea?
I'm very glad that you asked me that question.
Hang on a minute. Aren't you at all bothered by the fact that I'm not listening to your answers?
Sarah, I'm the leader of the Liberal Democrats.
Hello?
Hello there. Is that John or Fix It Plumbing Services?
Sorry, I'll just get my mother for you now. Ma'am? Somebody on the phone for John? Hello?
Oh, a very good day to you. It's Michael Parkinson here. I'm just currently under my own blocked drainpipe at the moment. You might be able to tell by this certain acoustic delivery that I'm having to inflict upon you this day. But we're just needing a bit of advice on how to do it. Tell me, do you think that you might be able to advise me on how to unblock the drainpipe I'm currently under?
Well, I couldn't, but my partner could, but he's out working.
Really? I suppose that's a testament and tribute to his skills that he's actually out working.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, what are some of the most memorable drainpipes that he's unblocked in his time?
Oh, gosh, I wouldn't know. I mean, I've only known John for 2-3 years.
Has he unblocked any pipes for the likes of Muhammad Ali, Gene Kelly, or Lauren Bacall in those years?
No.
No. I mean, do you think in a sense that could be the next stage, as it were, having established the skill, you know, to unblock pipes for, you know, Lauren Bacall, perhaps even the great Nelson Mandela, or even Billy Connolly, that could be the next stage.
Well, wouldn't that be good?
I think that would be
absolutely fantastic.
I mean, how long do you think that I may have to be here until John was able to come and unblock this drain pipe and so that I could get from under it?
Well, the thing is, where do you live? Well, don't live in Cardiff, do you, Michael?
As the great Orson Welles once said, you know, the shifting and the cleaning and emptying and unblocking of all manner of cornucopia of pipes is a very specialist industry. In the history of pipe unblocking, there really has been only one man who has really had the pedigree and the trust of the public to deliver it, and that man is him. So I was wondering if he could come.
No.
People of Britain, this is your crippled mallard. Naturally, I want to apologise for what happened to that 82-year-old pensioner, Walter Wolfgang, who was ejected from the Labour conference under anti-terror laws. However, the stewards involved were working on the advice of the security services. We live in a society where you are free to say that, and I welcome it. The intelligence had singled Mr. Wolfgang out as a potential threat, saying he was in possession of a padded jacket, or, as we in the scary trade call them, a car coat, slacks from CNA that could have contained bomb-making equipment, or his bus pass. And most worryingly, his jacket pockets were said to be stuffed full of empty Werther's Original wrappers, which they believed, had been used to construct some sort of nuclear device that could have ended all life in Britain as we know it, perhaps. So, once again, apologies to Mr. Wolfgang for the stewards dragging him from the building, and apologies for our armed security guards shooting him as he tried to get on the coach home. I just hope this hasn't in any way soured his opinion of the Labour Party, because he's welcome back any time. What is left of him?
Saturday night here on BBC One, it's He's Having a Baby. This week, our experts discuss the best ways to stop Davina McCall waking at all hours of the night, crying uncontrollably at the thought she's never going to work again. But first, we've more Bill Oddie in the follow-up series to The Truth About Killer Dinosaurs.
Hello, I'm Bill Oddie, Britain's second most successful troll doll. Yes, once again, we'll be going back thousands of years to reveal fascinating facts about a fearsome predator who once stalked the Earth in The Truth About Killer Budgies. Now, you might think that budgies aren't killers, but using the wonders of CGI and the fertile imagination of an increasingly desperate producer, we can actually show you what life wasn't like all those years ago when the prehistoric plains rang to this sound. So, here are some interesting facts, and by interesting, of course, I mean fictional, that you might want to know. They grew to over 30 feet in height. They fought pitched battles to the death, stripped to the waist, in vast cages measuring some hundreds of feet across. They were wiped out when a huge meteor crashed into their feeding bowl, throwing up a toxic cloud of trill into the atmosphere that blocked out the sun. Well, wasn't that nonsense? I'm only presenting this because me and Adam Hart Davis tossed for it and I lost. He gets to present the truth about Killer Kate Humble's lucky bugger.
In a moment, Justin Webb reports on the cleanup after Hurricane Rita and Hurricane Katrina. But first, over to Helen Willits for the weather here at home.
Oh, who cares? Nothing exciting like they get in America.
Helen, do you want to end up on the Today programme Naughty Step like Harriet Cass?
No.
Well, then.
All right, here's your forecast. Starting in the north, the dreaded rain cloud Bernard is sweeping in across Scotland. Laying waste to washing that hasn't been taken in wherever it goes. Meanwhile, the Midlands and Wales will be subjected to prolonged batterings from scattered showers Polly, Miranda and Sue. Irritating people who've just washed their cars from Birmingham to Barry Island. And in the south, tremble, tremble, I say, before the primal power of Light Miss Lenny.
Thank you, Helen. And tomorrow?
Mainly sunny.
And now, on Radio 4, it's the only ethnic thing we get to do all year, apart from the Hawaiian Christmas party. All those pineapples, all that ham. Yes, it's episode 4 of our afternoon play, the number one ladies detective agency. Mara Motswe has made some tea, and the man is sitting down.
I have a great problem, Mara Motswe, and I do not know which way to turn.
Tell me this problem, Mr. Mboto, using your mouth, and then I will hear the problem with my ears. And use my brain to help you.
I will tell you my problem. My wife, she spends some evenings in the house, but other evenings she does not. This is a great mystery to me.
It sounds like a great mystery, Ra.
That is what I thought. One evening, I followed her, and she went to a house which was not ours. I looked through the window of the house which was not ours, and I saw her lying down under a man. The man was doing press-ups, and my wife seemed to be counting them. But instead of calling out numbers, she seemed to be shouting, yes, 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 which is a very odd way to count. It was most perplexing to me.
This is most perplexing, I agree. But after much thought, I think I may be able to solve this great mystery. I think your wife is having an affair.
No, that is amazing. I cannot believe you managed it. How on earth did you work out such a mysterious and perplexing mystery?
I have noticed in my life that women have affairs, and sometimes they do not. But when they do have them with men. And sometimes they do not.
That is so. That is a very good observation, Mara Matswe. You must observe many things as a detective.
Oh, I do notice many things, Ra. I notice that houses have windows. I notice that there is wood under the bark of a tree. I notice that most of the cases I am asked to solve would not tax the brain of a 5-year-old.
Is that so?
Oh, yes. They are piss easy. Jonathan Creek, they are not.
Why do you think that would be, Mara Matswe?
Because they are ethnic, so it does not matter. And the white middle-class writer can knock out many, many books because he does not have to bother himself with anything approaching a decent mystery.
That is very clever, almost as clever as you, Mara Matswe.
Well, I am a detective. That was episode 4 of the number one ladies detective agency. Join us tomorrow when Mara Motswe solves the mystery of the man, the leopard, and the disappearing legs.
It really was quite unexpected that I'd be invited here this year to Blackpool for the Labour conference. Given my new role in Brussels as EU Commissioner for Trade and lovely fluffy cappuccinos... made for me by a delightful young civil servant named Philippe. But Gordon Brown is very popular at the moment, so let's not forget everyone. But I always liked him more than Tony. You see, I never actually liked Tony Blair. No, not a bit. Why do you think I kept getting sacked over and over again? It was all a carefully planned campaign on my behalf to undermine his leadership and smooth the way for the man who I always loved to take over. Gordon. So you can take this blindfold off now. And I don't have to keep standing with my back against this wall as you all point those guns at me.
You're listening to Front Row with me, Mark Lawson. I am the Eggman, Martha Carney is the Walrus. Following EastEnders' success at this week's Inside Soap Awards, ITV has hit back by creating yet another spurious awards show so they can win stuff.
Thank you, a very good evening. I'm Sir Trevor MacDonald, welcoming you to this, the ITV Awards. Yes, the ITV Awards, proudly sponsored by ITV, creators of the ITV Awards. I'm honoured to be badly reading this autocue in front of some of the biggest names in British television. Abby Titmus and Paul Dannan from Celebrity Love Island. Also that shouty woman off Wife Swap and Miss Hooley from Ballamore. Our first award tonight is for drama. Yes, it's the award for the best soap opera set in the North with the initials C and S. The best to feature a scene involving stock taking in a corner shop. Here with the nominations is a household ITV name who did much better on the BBC, Bruce Forsyth.
Yes, and may I just say, Sir Trevor, you could never be held higher, higher, higher in my estimations.
I haven't the foggiest notion what you're talking about, but the audience seem to think it's funny, so I'm going to smile regardless.
And the nominations for best scene in a corner shop are Coronation Street. Rita hasn't ordered enough fruit pastels. Coronation Street, Rita's overstocked on sweeteners. And Coronation Street, Rita's got too many barbecue-flavoured crisps. And the winner is... It's Coronation Street. Rita hasn't ordered enough fruit pastels. Didn't they do well?
They did. So let's treat ourselves to another look at the winning scene.
I say you wouldn't credit it, Deirdre. I say Rita has run out of fruit pastels. I say Rita has run out of fruit pastels.
It's no good, Fred. She can't hear you. Her vast wig is repelling the sound waves, you daft acre.
I say you'll be forgetting your head if it's not screwed on Rita for a cloth. I say you'll be forgetting your head next. I'll have some juicy fruits instead.
Marvellous. Unfortunately, neither Anne Kirkbride or John Sabadent could be here to collect their award, as they both have a life. But the actor who plays Dev was delighted to be here, as is a free bar this evening.
Thank you. This award isn't for me, but in many ways it should be. Thank you for having me.
Join me again after the seemingly endless Dixons, Quote Me Happy and Sainsbury's ads for more of the ITV Awards. Amongst the prestigious awards still to come, Best Show featuring Ross Kemp dressed as a soldier, Best Anton Deck, and Best News Programme that begins with Bong.
BBC Radio 4, I'm Charlotte Green. And if you suffer from erectile dysfunction, you might like to know that the sound of me trying not to giggle on the news quiz is now available on prescription. And now it's time for Bells on Sunday. This week's bells are from St. Gideon behind the Wardrobe, Whippets End. The church was built in 1432 and its spire 5 years earlier due to the plans being read upside down. There is a ring of 8 bells, the tenor weighs 80 cubits and is tuned to the key of A, whilst the vicar weighs 18 stone and is full to the brim of ale. They will be ringing Grandsire Bob's triplet surprise for about 3/4 of a second.
there. That was mainly me talking about bells on Sunday.
Good afternoon, Hospital Pharmacy.
Can you hear me all right?
Yeah.
I wondered if you could give me something to ease the pain in my sore throat.
Okay, bear with me.
Are you speaking to the pharmacist? How can I help you?
That's the pharmacy in Cardiff, isn't it?
This is Clanedin Pharmacy in the Milford.
Oh, lovely. Right, I've got the right place then. My throat is killing me. I wondered if you could give me something for it.
What have you tried and how long have you had the symptoms?
Oh, I had a bit of a late one and I just sort of woke up with it, to be honest with you, but it's never really been this bad, you know.
So, have you got white spots on your tonsils?
I don't know, I can't see that far. Do you know, I haven't yet so far. I just got out of bed, I got to be honest with you.
I can only give you advice if you tell me your full medical history. Right, so who am I speaking to?
The name is Charlotte Church.
You sound very, very rough then.
Oh, you got that right from the start, I'm telling you.
Well, the first part of advice I'm going to give you now is to stop smoking, because it's very bad for you. That's probably what's causing your sore throat.
I know. Well, you see, Elkie Brooks was a big fan of mine. I was trying to sound a bit more gravelly like her. I mean, you know, it's all right when you're doing operas and all that, but, you know, when you've got to stand to be a rock star, then you've got to kind of, like, live it a bit, haven't you? Lifestyle goes with it, isn't it?
It puts an extra sort of strain on your voice. I can quite understand late nights and things like that.
Well, you'll send something around in a taxi, will you?
Yes, just give me your address, we'll send you something round.
All right, I'll get my PA to phone you and say where I am. I haven't really opened my eyes yet. Also, have you got a waxing kit for my boyfriend? He's an agreement. My God, he fancies himself.
What about some fake tan as well?
That's probably a good idea. Tell you what, send round some Cooper and all. And okay. Just waste him. Thank you for your help. And next time I sing PA Years or Summit, it'll all be for you. All right, God bless.
Cheers. Bye, Charlotte.
You've been listening to Dead Ringers from the New Theatre, Cardiff. It was performed by John Culshaw, Jan Ravens, Mark Perry and Kevin Connolly. It was written by Tom Jameson and Neff Fountain. John Finnemore, John Culshaw, John Holmes, and it was devised by Bill Dare. The producer is Katie Marsden.